Time to meet the men from the ministry. Join us now for another glimpse of life at the top with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Man is a naturally inquisitive creature, forever anxious to know what his neighbours are up to. For many of us, prying into other people's lives is a way of getting into trouble. For ministry men, it's a way of life.
I must say, too, we did a grand job on this census form. Some of these questions would floor anyone.
Yes, but I rather think they would. Mm. My favourite is, are you a member of the opposite sex, if not state reason? That was one of mine, wasn't it?
Yes. I rather prefer mine, though, you know. Oh, yes. At the bottom of page 21. Are you still using your own teeth? If not, whose teeth are you using?
The snag is having to read through all the answers.
Yes, oh, I find some of them quite amusing, though, you know, really. I mean, look what this woman's written here. Mm-hmm. Look, before I fill in this form, should my husband be put down?
More forms, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, thank you, Mildred, yes. And now, what about a drop of that magic potion that knits up the ravel sleeve of care?
Do what?
A pot of tea, Mildred.
I haven't got time, have I, with all them census forms? I've not had a cut myself for 20 minutes.
Well, you see, it's vital work, Mildred.
If you say so, sir. But people keep asking me why we had to have another census. I mean, we had one quite recently, didn't we?
Ah, well, that one was such a success, you see.
Was it?
Indeed it was, Mildred. It entirely achieved its object.
Well, what was the object, Mr. Lamb?
It gave government officials something to do.
Better still, you know, we had to recruit thousands of new staff.
Yeah, I noticed, but did we really need them?
Of course we did. First, the forms had to be printed and distributed. Then, when the public had filled them in, they had to be collected.
And after that, it took months to tear them all up and throw them away.
Of course they weren't all thrown away, Mildred. Parker of Pensions used some to paper his office.
And Mr. Rudge at the Board of Trade kept a lot. What did he do with his, I wonder?
I'm not sure, but he was cutting them into little squares and punching a hole in the corner.
Yes, but you know, this new census form is bigger and better. Oh, my word, over 200 questions on personal history.
And that's just page one.
Well, I bet you get some funny answers.
Oh, I was just saying so to Mr. Lamb, Mildred. Yes, look at this one here, where it says, name forebears. The chap's written, mother bear, father bear, and two babies.
And there's a real idiot here. He's filled in his name all right, but after sex, he's put Tuesdays. Doesn't make sense.
But you know... you can understand people getting cross, can't you? I mean, having to write all these answers when they're busy.
Ah, yes. Well, now, we made special concessions for busy people, Mildred. Now, just look there at page two. Answer these questions by putting a tick in each box. If you're short of time, make it half a tick.
My mum couldn't remember her place of birth. She was very young at the time.
My place of birth was no problem. I just put spare bedroom.
Yes, well, now let's get on with tying these forms in bundles, too. The permanent undersecretary wants as many as possible burnt by the end of the week.
Righto, well. Ooh, talking about Sir Gregory, He's rather left us alone lately, hasn't he? I wonder what he's up to.
Come in, come in.
Oh, good afternoon, Sir Gregory. My name's Keane.
Oh, stop all the chatter, man. What do you want?
I'm Keane, sir.
Well, I'm glad somebody is. Surrounded by laziness, incompetence and bungling.
No, Sir Gregory.
Don't argue, man.
I'm Hubert Keane, Census Liaison Officer Technical.
Ah, C-L-O-T. Yes, I've heard about you. What do you want?
Well, sir, census forms have been returned from all over the country, except from one little village in Cornwall called Treadwerrily.
Nothing to worry about. They'll turn up eventually.
I hope so, but I did send a couple of our enumerators down there last week to check up, you see, and they've not come back.
Not surprising. You know what British Rail is like.
No, I've tried to contact them, and they've disappeared.
Disappeared? That is odd.
So I wondered if you'd lend me two of your men to go down and see what's happening. A couple of bright chaps, if that's possible.
It isn't. Oh, my lot are hopeless. Bunch of idiots.
I should also warn you, it could be dangerous.
Dangerous?
Some of the villagers down there hate officialdom. And the cliffs are very high and the sea is pretty rough. There could be accidents. You'd have to regard your men as expendable.
Expendable men? Ah, there I can help you.
Thank you, sir.
I've got two of the most expendable men in London. If I never see him again, it'll be too soon.
Oh, well, that's enough for one day, too. I think I'll toddle off home.
It's only 3:31. Mind Sir Gregory doesn't see you.
Oh, don't worry. I've learned how to make myself inconspicuous going down the corridor. Mm-hmm. Yes, I take my shoes off and tiptoe past his office with my umbrella open to hide my face.
Well, I'll stay on for a bit and read my book. It'll save burning the gas fire at home.
What is that you're reading to?
It's about one of those chaps who crossed the Atlantic in a dinghy. It's called Rowing My Way.
Well, it's a bit adventurous for you, isn't it?
Oh, no one. I've often thought I'd like to go to sea. You know, sew everything up.
Yes, well, I'm off, as I said.
What if Sir Gregory comes in?
Oh, tell him I've gone to the Home Office.
He might not believe me.
Oh, too bad. I can't be bothered with him. He's just a tyrant. He's a loudmouth bully.
Lennox Brown.
Oh, hello, Sir Bully. Very nice of you to call, sir.
Well, I thought it was time we had a friendly chat.
Really, Sir Gregory?
Well, now, look here, you two. I hope you don't think of me as a tyrant or a bully.
Oh, no, Sir Gregory. We were talking about someone else.
Hey, two.
Well, I may have had to speak sharply on occasions, and sometimes I've wanted to hit you, but that's as far as it goes.
Thank you, Sir Gregory.
On the other hand, I do worry about your welfare. At the moment, for instance, I feel you need a holiday. This new census has given you a great deal of extra work.
Has it?
Yeah, well, indeed it has. Of course it has, yeah. We've often been here till 4:30.
Well, I've got wind of a little assignment down in Cornwall. Sort of liaison job.
Oh.
It means a week by the sea, all expenses paid, lovely little bay, magnificent cliffs. What about it?
I'd jump at the chance.
It may not be necessary for you to jump, lad. I mean, I've already put your names forward.
Well, now, that's extremely kind of you, Sir Gregory. Yeah. Yes, we might even get in the water.
More than likely, Lennox Brown. As I said, there is one small task I'd like you to carry out while you're down there.
With pleasure, Sir Gregory. Yes, bring you back some clotted cream, a pisky or two, or some Cornish cider.
No, I'm not sending you down to get piskies. I want you to pick up the census forms from Treadwellily that haven't been returned yet. The villagers may need some help. They're simple folk, you know.
Just leave it to us, Sir Gregory.
Mildred can run the office while we're away. After all, we're not indispensable.
No, indeed you're not. Yeah. Good luck.
I say, one, what marvellous luck.
By Jove, yes. You know he's not such a bad old stick after all, is he? I mean, he really seemed to enjoy sending us off for a break.
I may have to buy a new swimming costume. My old one's got a moth hole on the knee.
Oh.
And I'll take my shrimping net. It's in the map cupboard.
Two. Have a little decorum, please. I mean, we're going down to represent the government.
Yes, sir.
We're to help locals with their census form.
Simple folk, Sir Gregory says.
Yes.
Oh, they will be pleased to see us.
No, order, please, order.
Any more of the white all snoopers come down here, we'll string them up.
No, gentlemen, I don't agree. You must remember that these ministry men represent the government. I feel that we should receive them in the traditional, local manner.
Oh, and what's that, Miss Clegg?
Throw them off the cliff. Having first put them in the stocks and pelted them with rotten fruit.
Order, please, gentlemen. Gentlemen, please. We are gathered here today to discuss a very, very serious problem. Our postmistress, Miss Clegg, has informed me that two more Whitehall representatives are indeed on their way here.
That's right, Squire. They arrive tomorrow morning by train.
Well, we have to decide what to do. Big Jim, you wanted to say something.
Well, yes, Ducky. The Including myself personally, in my opinion.
Oh, get on with it, get on with it, man.
Well, why don't we just fill in these census forms and be done with it?
Because the census forms demand that you state your occupation, you foolish fellow.
Yes, and the only two people in Treadwarily who can show legal employment are Miss Clegg as postmistress and you, Big Jim, selling Cornish piskies to the tourists.
And the rest of you are making illegal brandy, I know. But you don't have to say so, Ducky. Just make something up.
No, no, no. Not a good idea. Once we are down on paper, the authorities have ways of checking, you know.
The fuzz would nick us in no time. Right in the middle of our record year. Oh, I meant to tell you, Squire. My latest figures show 2,000 barrels of nettle brandy smuggled to France already.
We don't want to spoil that. So the problem remains. What do we do with these new ministry men?
I say string them up. Or throw them off the cliff, like Miss Clegg said.
Just a moment, please. We really should avoid violence if we can. It creates problems, you see. I suggest we treat these two government men as we did the last two.
Well, what was that, Squire? I've been away.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you were up in Manchester, weren't you, buying more Cornish biscuits? we filled them with nettle brandy and sold them a cottage by the harbour. They soon lost interest in the census and in going back to London.
Well, they gave it all up for the cottage and the brandy.
Well, they're also receiving a certain amount of attention from Miss Bedwell.
Oh, now I see. Young Moll with her big lobster pot. Shameless trollop.
Well, it worked well enough before, so I move we try it again.
Very, very well, Squire. A skinful of nettle brandy should keep them quiet, at least till Friday, when the next big shipment leaves the cove.
And if it don't keep them quiet, then there's allus the long drop from Devil's Point.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Treadwarily. I am Trelawney, the local squire.
Oh, how do you do, my dear sir? Yes. Now, I'm Lennox Brown, you see, and this is my colleague here, Mr. Lamb.
Yeah, how do you do?
How do you do? Well, you've had a long journey, gentlemen. May I suggest a little drink at the local hostelry over there?
A drink? What, you mean at this time of the morning?
Oh, we don't worry about licensing hours here. We don't worry about licensing hours today.
Today?
We have an extension, you see, because of our local... Goat fair.
Oh, goat fair sounds a bit of an orgy.
Well, it's all but. You follow me, gentlemen. This way. Yep. The locals are looking forward to meeting you. Let me pour you another, Lamb. Jake, open another barrel.
Right, Squire.
What sort of beer is this? It tastes almost like brandy.
Yes. Well, it's a local brew, you see. Drink up, Lennox Brown. Have another.
My dear sir, I've already had 4 pints.
12, actually, but who's counting?
Really jolly nice meeting you people, you know, but it's time we got up and went out of our senses. I mean, we went out and got on with our senses.
You don't want to bother your heads about no senses here. Let me top up your glasses.
Yeah, perhaps you're right. I feel very sleepy.
You know, it's a real pleasure for us simple folk to mix with smart gentlemen like you.
Yes, Jake's right. It's not often we meet the great decision-makers who run the country.
Do you know you've got a pimple on the end of your nose?
No. Hum a few bars and I'll try and pick it up.
My word. It's grand to see you relaxing after the cares of London. Do you good, you know, to stop all that stress and strain and settle in a place like this.
Give up the flesh pots of the big city and come and enjoy them down here.
I don't think they're listening, Jake. Mr. Lennox Brown seems to be asleep.
You're right. And where's the other one gone?
That's him under the table with his head on my shoe. Order, order, please, order.
Now admit it, Squire, your plan didn't work. They weren't as soft as the other two.
Unfortunately, they were softer. They fell asleep before Moll arrived.
Mm. And today they're going around with hangovers, driving everyone mad.
Oh, Jake's right, Squire. They're pestering the whole village with their wretched senses.
Mm. We may have to try sterner measures. Whatever happens, they mustn't be allowed near the cove tonight.
Leave it to me, Squire.
If they do see the boat with the brandy, we'll just have to push them over the cliff. Gently, of course.
Well, I don't know, too. We don't seem to be getting anywhere with this blasted census.
Can't understand it. I don't think these villagers want our help. Yeah. I asked the postmistress how many people lived here, and she said 800. But that's the same as the census 50 years ago.
Ridiculous. The population can't stay constant. Haven't any babies been born?
That's what I said, but she said every time a baby's born, someone leaves the village. Still, we have got a few forms filled in.
Oh, yes, but some of them don't ring true. Well, I mean, one local fisherman might be called Adolf Hitler. But not 10 of them.
What about all these mishaps? Lucky that sack of potatoes missed you, but why did it fall from the church roof?
Very odd. Very odd, you know. And four times we were nearly run over in the high street.
Of course, that could happen in London.
Yes, but in Treadwellerly, there's only one car. You know, there's something very strange going on, you know, too. I have an instinct about these things.
Hey, you two!
Look out, look out. Is that rough fella Jake? Better ask him for his census form.
No, you ask him. You're senior. He looks rather angry.
Hey, wait a minute. Is that a sledgehammer he's carrying?
I want a word with you.
Good evening, my dear fellow.
We'd like a word with you.
Nothing important, you understand. It's just...
But if you have filled in your sledgehammer, the census form, we'd be pleased to take it.
Oh, you would, would you?
Now, look here, old chap. There's no need to lift my colleague up in the air like that.
Put me down. I can't stand heights.
And I can't stand interfering layabouts from London.
Help me, what?
Well, I'm sure it doesn't mean any harm to. It's probably the local way to greet friends.
Now, listen, you two. Don't go near the cove tonight. I warned you. Hmm? Steer clear of the cove around 10 o'clock.
But we've no plans to visit the cove.
Well, don't say as I didn't warn you. Just watch it.
Come along, two. Come along, come on. Keep up, keep up.
Let's go back one. That thug specially told us not to come to the cove tonight.
That's why we're here, too. There is something going on, and I'd like to know what. Now, stop moaning.
I tore my shorts on that barbed wire fence.
Yes, I can see your predicament. But this is no time to be bashful, too. You look pretty daft anyway with your face covered in boot polish.
That's what the commandos did to conceal themselves in the dark.
Yes, but they hadn't got bowler hats and briefcases. Hello. Wait a minute. Look, there's a boat out there in the bay.
So there is. That's the answer, then. We can go back to the hotel.
No, no, we can't. Come here, too. Come. Look, we must find out more about her. Anchored in open water, no lights. Ah, yes, yes, this needs looking into.
But it's past my bedtime.
Yeah, there's a dinghy at the water's edge. We'll borrow it. Now, we'll row out and have a look at her. See?
Row out? Have you gone mad, one?
Well, do as I say, too. Quick, now, come on, over here.
The boat's full of barrels.
Yes, well, shove them aside. There we are. Right, I'm in. Push off, too.
Righto, cheerio, one.
No, no. Push the boat off.
Oh, I see. All right.
Go on. Oh. Catch it. Good. Now, wait a minute. That's it. Now, grab those oars, too. Start rowing.
Why have I got to do the rowing?
Because I, see, should be navigating. I shall navigate by the stars. That's the pole star up there, you know.
No, it isn't. It's a lighted window on the cliff.
Yes, so it is, yes.
Even I know the pole star doesn't have curtains round it. Yeah.
Just keep rowing, too, and we'll find out what this is all about.
I say, well, I've been rowing for over an hour now, and we still haven't reached that big boat.
Yes. Well, I didn't want to rush toward it. Might have aroused suspicion, you see. Are
you sure we're going in the right direction?
Well, of course I'm sure.
But the boat's out of sight now, and so's the land. And the moon seems to have moved over to our left.
What? Yes, well, that's because of the time of the year, you see. Oh. Yeah. Well, you see, the latitude and the tides and the summer equinox have to be taken into account.
Oh, I see.
Just leave it to me, too, will you, and keep rowing.
Miss Murphy, I want a word with you. I'm afraid I have bad news.
Not Mr. Lamb falling off his bike again.
No, but it seems that he and Lennox Brown were spotted last week rowing out to sea and haven't been seen since. By some oversight, the locals didn't tell the police till yesterday.
Oh.
I heard last night, but I kept quiet because I didn't want to raise false hopes. A false alarm. But today, Coast Guards at Land's End found two bowler hats washed up on the rocks.
Does that mean...
I'm afraid it does. They've obviously passed on to that great ministry in the sky.
But that's awful. Mr. Lamb will never see his pelargonium bloom.
I brought along this wreath, improvised rather hastily, of course. The hall porter made it from census forms tied with red tape.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll lay it beside the teapot. They'd have liked that. Oh, now they've gone. The office will never be the same again. Never.
Yes, there is that to be said for it. Anyway, I want to dictate an obituary notice for the Star magazine. It goes to press tomorrow. No sense in waiting.
Right, sir. Just let me get me pad out and blow me nose.
Well, a handkerchief would be more hygienic, surely. Oh, I see. Yes. Ready, Miss Merton. Hit it. Civil servants at sea. The General Assistance Department were shocked to learn of the fatal accident involving Derek Lennox Brown and Richard Lamb, new paragraph. Their careers blossomed under the expert guiding hand of Sir Gregory Pitkin, CBE, age 48. Sir Gregory, whose meteoric rise in the civil service followed a distinguished army career as a noted athlete and a skilled yachtsman. His hobbies are...
Just a minute, sir. Shouldn't this be about Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb?
Leave it to me, my dear. I am the dictator. Pitkin here. Who? Coastal Command HQ. You sighted what? Two men in a small boat? Good Lord, how dare they? Yes, keep me informed.
What was it, sir? Good news?
No! Yes, good news. An aircraft has just spotted two men in pinstripe suits in the middle of the Atlantic.
Oh!
They were standing up in a boat, shouting at each other and pointing in different directions.
It must be them. It couldn't be anybody else, could it?
But what on earth are they up to?
Here, I've got it. Mr. Lamb's book.
What?
Mr. Lamb was reading about one of them chaps who crossed the Atlantic in a dinghy. Here's the book on his desk. Rowing My Way.
And by George, there's another in his in tray. Rowing for a Song. The man's obviously obsessed by the sea.
He must have decided to cross the Atlantic himself.
And persuaded Lennox Brown to go with him. This is just what the civil service needs. A new virile image. Change that piece I give you, Miss Muffin. It's no longer an obituary. It's an urgent press release. Head it. The Nelson Touch. Civil Servants Bold Atlantic Venture.
I don't know what's in these barrels, one, but it's jolly good fuel.
Yeah, it's a bit of luck discovering that outboard motor under the seat. I was getting pretty exhausted, you know, sitting there watching you rowing.
I wonder where we are now.
Hey, yeah? I'm not sure, but I think I see land ahead.
You're right, one. It is.
We're home again.
My landlady would be furious. I promised I'd be early for supper last Tuesday.
And here is the news read by John Curl. A ticker tape welcome in New York for the two bearded British civil servants, Derek Lennox Brown and Richard Lamb, who landed there today after crossing the Atlantic in a small boat. Lennox Brown's first words on stepping ashore in New York Harbor were, "My word, this part of Cornwall's very built up." A joke he subsequently declined to explain. Their crossing was completed in record time due to superb seamanship and a new British fuel said to be made from nettles. When asked if they intended returning to Britain the same way, the two men collapsed. They're now making a good recovery and on their return to Britain will be guests of honour at a reception given by the Prime Minister, who today praised their achievement. He said he wished he had been in their shoes and was amazed at their great feat.
Well, I'm proud of you both crossing the Atlantic like that. I must say I was astonished.
We were pretty astonished ourselves, Sir Gregory.
My dear lamb, you're too modest. Let me pour you some more champagne. And have another cigar, my dear Lennox Barn.
I have three already, Sir Gregory.
Well, don't light this one till you've finished the others. Oh, this is a great day for me, you know.
A great day for you, Sir Gregory?
Well, of course. I am head of the department, and as is the custom in the civil service, I get the credit.
But what about us, Sir Gregory?
Well, Lamb did some rowing, you know, and I did the navigation, and plus all the advanced planning, of course.
Oh, you won't be forgotten. I'll see to that. Oh. Yeah. By the way, there is one other matter. Sorry to bother you. Those census forms you went to Treadwell to collect, I'll take them now.
Oh, the census forms, yes.
That was the purpose of your visit. I take it you did collect them.
Well, we collected some, Sir Gregory.
Then let me have them.
We haven't got them anymore, Sir Gregory.
Haven't got the census forms? Well, what have you done? Eaten them?
Yes, Sir Gregory.
What?
Well, we were at sea a long time, you know, and there was nothing else to eat, so naturally...
Stop!
All at sea, as the men from the ministry, were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham, and produced by Edward Taylor.